You know you belong together, little big pod forever. You're talking on air. Nathan has weird hair. From the very first moment I heard you, I never felt such emotion. From talking on air, I said no, you are there. So hold me in your arms and let me go. I wanna stay forever, closer each day. Graham and
Oh, there she is in the back of the car. Norma, we can't find our camera, so I'd love to turn on. It's somewhere here.
Yeah, I'm in the boot.
What's going on there? It's quite a setup. You sent me a picture of it yesterday. So how many microphones do you have in there?
I can see you. Well, I've shagged all microphones now because I'm just, I don't care about the quality of your recordings.
We wouldn't want to put you out now. That you had to bring a microphone down. So I'm just checking the camera.
Yeah, no, here. I do have a fancy microphone, but it's I don't have it with me right now. I'm going to turn off my notifications there now that I have ye.
Are you in the car park of Lidl because your next door neighbour has a lawnmower?
Yeah. There's a lot of trimming and bush trimming going on. Like there's, I was going to just bide my time, but it's the biggest bush I've seen. It's long.
Jesus.
It's going to be there for
days. Is it thick?
It's high. It's thick. It's a COVID bush now, but not too dissimilar to my own at this stage.
Introduce yourself, by the way, to the Little Big Podcast audience. And I'm sorry you can only see me. Nathan, stick your head in there.
Hey, Norma.
There's only one camera in here that we have going. We put it through the desk.
It's probably good that I can only see one of you, to be honest, because you're a bit like Laurel and Hardy. I get your names mixed up. Sorry. Do people get your names mixed up because you rhyme?
Which one is the one wearing the hat?
I know that the one that's called Nathan doesn't look like Nathan Carter.
Yes, I do not look like Nathan Carter whatsoever.
Does Graham look like Nathan Carter?
Graham, I have to do a word connection. Graham's surname is Tool.
Yeah.
But he's not a tool, and no. I know nothing about his tool. But so I'm struggling, to be honest.
Right.
Well, look, you can
Graham.
See what Graham looks like right now. That's Graham.
A little bit like Nathan Carter. It's a strange...
A tiny bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Oh, look, no, I'll take that. He's very handsome. I'm not looking the best these days, to be honest now, with the old lack of haircuts and very pale skin on me.
I've put Nathan in as Nathan Lanky O'Reilly on my phone, so that's...
Yeah.
I can check that.
No, I am a lanky man. What Lidl are you at right now?
I'm at the Glenageary roundabout.
Are you?
Near Nathan's...
That's near my parents. That's near where I grew up, born and raised. I tell you, Glenageary's a rough spot, Norma.
Well... Do you mean which side of the Glenageary roundabout now is a rough spot?
Ah, all of them. You know, you hear plenty of gunshots around there. Just say you know me and you'll be okay.
Where do Mammy and Daddy live?
They live right beside Glenageary Dart Station.
Affluent area.
Ooh, I'm actually moving there in a couple of weeks.
Are you actually?
Yeah, down there by the church, Silchester.
Oh my God. Is this the first time you've ever moved with the family to a new house?
Yeah, I've three kids and we've been living in Sallynagan for many years and I think they're just all cramped into bunk beds, so enough already. We're moving down to the other side of the roundabout, down near your mama and daddy.
So we do have to talk about where you're actually, why you're in the boot of the car. You literally are in a boot of your car in a car park. For acoustics, okay. I presume?
So many reasons. Basically, I have two teenagers on Zoom calls. They're in first year, so they have two rooms taken up in the house. My husband's in the kitchen on some other call and doing some muscle lifting thing. The little prick is after losing weight during COVID, and I've basically gained the stone that he's lost.
Right.
So that's not great.
It.
And then you have your man next door trimming his bush. And then there's so many reasons to get into your car. I basically turned it into my office a year ago because... I've been struggling, to be honest, to have so many people around. You're in the office now. Are you inside in Spin?
Yeah,
we've always been working here, even at the beginning of the pandemic. We're deemed essential workers, would you believe?
Yeah, but a lot of DJs were shoved in their bedrooms.
Yeah, I don't know why they left. They let us keep coming in for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't think they trusted us to do it from home, even though Nathan did do it from home for a few weeks when he was it was your knee.
I did my knee, Norma. Yeah. I injured it and I had to do it in my living room, but it was just kind of weird. It wasn't a great atmosphere. I do want to say, Norma, you are the very first actor we've ever had on the podcast.
Oh, I hate actors.
No, we want to ask you a lot of questions about the acting world.
The reason I'm in the boot is because I do a lot of voiceovers as well, because you couldn't be relying on the acting alone. So I do ads for the government and the supermarkets and all that. So I set up my mics in here with the good acoustics, as you said, and I do my podcasts as well. But the acting's grand. Yeah, go on, ask me about the acting.
No, I've got a really quick question about the voiceovers. Can you do an ad for us that you've recorded, and Nathan and I have to try and guess what the product is?
Well, I did one yesterday.
I'll do it.
Well, have we heard it though? Yes.
Oh God, I do them every week. God, I'm out there all the time, but I don't use this accent. Like, this isn't going to sell anything.
What's your voiceover accent?
Oh, my voiceover accent. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh shit! That's you!
Oh, yeah. No, I'm a whore for the voiceovers.
Go on,
yeah,
give us one. Give us one there. We'll try and guess it.
Well, she doesn't have a script, does she?
Ah, well, you know that I
did,
I did a DID one there where I just shouted at the microphone about a television. Get yeah, 6 days St. Patrick's Day sale!
Yeah, you're fairly recognisable, all right, to be honest. I know, you're very good. Do you get paid in there, or do you just have to do them as part of your job?
This is work experience. We've been waiting to get paid for the last 10 years.
Right.
I know,
right.
The voiceovers are different. We do get paid for the voiceovers.
I never get voiceover work, Norma. They hate my voice. It's very nasally.
Well, you could get endorsed for a product because you're known. Do you know what I mean? Like the likes of Simon Delaney and Deirdre O'Kane and Amy Huberman, them, because their voices are more known. And you might get it, you know, you could endorse the product. Do you know what I mean?
I appreciate that. Yeah, I'll look into it. But give us
I'm not sure what the product is.
Give us an ad, would you?
Yesterday now was one, I had to be two characters, so I started out with, oh, biscuits, jeez, I've tried them all, from Maffa Doodles to Marietta's. And I always come back to the, won't name the product, snack with the luscious chocolate covering the shortcake. And then it goes into Grands know their chocolate. Try brand something at terms and conditions apply.
Holy moly!
I bet it's
nope.
Oh.
Keep going.
Hey guys, you can't say look, sorry, I'm gonna have to beep them.
I can't say.
Nestle.
But do you know what? I've no morals. I'll do anything. I'll do McDonald's.
Damn right.
I'll do whatever.
Get that cash in the bank.
Look, Norma, you'd be very impressed. I did a little bit of research before this podcast, okay? And I didn't realise some of the stuff you have been in. Moon Boy.
I'm obsessed with Moon Boy.
You were in Moon Boy, Norma. I had Graham here this morning looking at scenes of you in the show.
I loved Moon Boy, Norma. You were Linda. So you were Deirdre O'Kane's sister, was it?
Sure, I don't know what I was. I was just a slut, basically. And I did lovely stuff with Steve Coogan. And I was the godmother to the little moon boy fella, David Rawl. And they used to just wheel me out. And actually, I had to do a prostitute scene with, you know, Elaine, that you do the Friday show.
Yeah,
Elaine Crowley.
Nathan Lanky Riley. Nathan, you know the Friday show you do with Elaine?
Elaine Crowley.
I also do it, Norma, but thanks for watching.
Her fella came on and did he was either my pimp or my gimp in one of the episodes. But we had a great time.
How did you get involved in that?
You see, I was in the clinic years ago. You're probably too young to remember that. The clinic was on for 7 years and I was the crazy receptionist who was a bit suicidal, kind of stalkery. And Chris O'Dowd played the accountant and he was an awful lat, like a total moron in it. And he went on then to do the IT crowd. I went on to do work with Spielberg, we basically met on that. So when it came to casting it, he kept me in mind and he saw me. And Declan Lowney and himself. Declan Lowney was from Father Ted and they shoved me into the role because they knew. I tend to play nuns or prostitutes.
Yeah, similar enough. One of my favourite characters of all time, and I'm not even in Moonboy, but of all time, was Moonboy's friend Porrick. Honest to God, he is such a fantastic character. And I think I've seen him in... Oh, he was in something recently. It was about... The school one
about
the guy, the lad who's gay and the girl who's lesbian, and they stayed with each other because
dating Amber.
Dating Amber.
Dating Amber.
Dating Amber.
Fiona O'Shea is brilliant, and he was playing the lead, and Ian O'Reilly was one of the lads in the classroom. Ian O'Reilly is a good friend of mine. We did The Cripple of Inishman and The Gaiety 2 years ago, and we sold out, Jesus, back in the days, like 60 shows, 1,000 per show. I was playing the old Biddy and he was playing the funny Bartley. If you want him on the show, I will have him for ye in matter of days.
Ooh.
Yeah, we'll like him on the podcast.
How old is he now?
Oh, sure, he must be 20, yeah.
Yeah, because in my head, he's just this young guy that keeps on making funny jokes. But then I saw him in Dating Amber and I go, oh my God, he's grown up. How long was Moonboy? And then I checked out this morning. Was it 2013? In around that time?
I don't look at time anymore.
Right,
no,
okay.
I've given up on that. Yeah, I've no idea.
Norma, what was it like being on set at Moonboy? Was everything just shot around where Chris O'Dowd is from?
We did the outdoor stuff. You see, it's so expensive to shoot on location down the country. So they did everything in a warehouse in Ardmore. Like they built the kitchens or whatever. And then they did a few houses down around Glenroe. I think there was was it Biddy's or Dick and Mary's house from Glenroe was used. And then they do the outdoor shots down in Boyle. Now, fair play to Chris O'Dowd. He stood his ground and he effed Sky and whoever out of it and demanded that Roscommon got a look in. So we were down in Boyle. Oh, listen, I think it was after NAMA. So we got put up with these castles that they got for half nothing. It was just, I was such a great time. You had Johnny Vegas on it, Steve Coogan.
Oh my God.
They trailed in all the comedians. Maeve Higgins, Sharon Horgan came in and did a bit. They all came in and we were there. I wasn't one of the leads, but I was a regular in most of the episodes. Oh, it was fucking mighty.
What was it like, Norma, seeing Chris O'Dowd start taking Hollywood by a storm in the film Bridesmaids? Do you just think, holy shit, I know that guy?
Ah, yeah, but sure, he still has to shit and pay taxes, you know what I mean? And I know bloody well that he's a pain in the ass and his wife is a saint and he's got kids, so he's up during the night. It's just the way it is. And he's doing really well in some show, I can't remember the name of it now. This is a show that he's the lead in out there at the moment. He's flying it. He's such a good guy. He, you know, remembered me for that. We got on so well in the clinic. He'd be on set, right? He'd be producing. Some years he was directing. So he'd be writing, producing, directing, and skiving off at the weekend to New York to shoot this film, Saint Something, with your man from Lost in Translation and
Bill Murray.
Melissa McCarthy and what's your man from Lost in Translation?
Bill Murray.
Yeah. Like he'd be popping off to shoot stuff like that of a Saturday and Sunday and then back to Boyle to produce, direct, write. Just busy people. So, yeah.
What's your favourite thing you've ever worked on?
Sometimes it's not always the best things. I did a lovely one 2 years ago called Dead Still, and I was doing, it was all period costumes. Myself and Mark O'Halloran were playing this wacky couple. I don't know if that's coming back. That was aired recently. I love Damo and Ivor because they were it was a small group, and Andy, God, I forgot his surname.
Don't
oh
worry.
My God. Okay. Did you ever see Damo and Ivor?
Bits. I wouldn't have watched it religiously.
Yeah. What else did I enjoy?
You were in the Colin Farrell film. Was it Iodine or something?
Oh, it should have been called Iodine. No, that wasn't great. That wasn't great. That didn't do very well.
What was it? Because I saw the poster and Colin Farrell has such long hair. It looks like a very sexy film.
Yeah, he had a great time on it. He met the partner of the mother of his child. Oh. And Neil Jordan was directing and he did a great job. It was so beautiful down there. The film didn't travel. No,
what's
it didn't travel.
What's it about, Norma?
A mermaid or something. That's the problem.
You sold it to me.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be into fiction, you see. So, yeah.
So
yeah, no,
your
it didn't.
Career seems very interesting because you have a lot of hands in different pies. You're currently doing a podcast. We will touch on that. But did you always want to be an actor?
I did, but I'm quite realistic. Like, my mother made me do commerce. So when I came out of school, you know, I always acted. I found an essay recently that I wrote when I was 7 going, when I grew up, I wanted to be an actor. And I just loved it. But I did love maths and accounting as well. So I did commerce for my mother in UCD and had a great time and spent a lot of time in the Drama Society. And then I went on to RADA for 3 years after the commerce. And that was in London. Had a 3 years brilliant time there as well. And then did a lot of theatre because I didn't even I had no screen training. And the theatre got a few awards through theatre, and then kind of moved on to the clinic and other filming jobs. Got the voiceovers going to pay the mortgage and pay for the kids. I have 5 milking cows on the go at all times. Bit like yourselves, you probably have a load on the go as well. You have to.
Seems like that.
Oh, it's stagnant, Norma.
We're trying to have things on the go, but it's...
Christ, it's tough out there.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough out there, Norma.
Are Spin looking after you? Like, is there? Because you're the best thing on the radio. Are you being paid accordingly?
A lot of money. So much so that sometimes I don't even look at my bank account. I don't even have to look at it.
He's just tapping constantly. Yeah.
Nathan asked me this morning, "How much do you get paid with that DID voiceover?" I said, "I don't know. Doesn't even matter at this stage. Just keep on the money coming into the account."
Yeah, I just think you make so many people happy. Like, I stopped listening for a while when the schools shut down and stuff like that. You know, you're not good enough to get out of bed.
Understandable. Understandable. Come here. We were trying to figure out how we... I wouldn't say... Is it met or just became friendly with each other? Was it the time when you were walking with sexy money man Owen McGee and you just started shouting at us, going, "They're the guys off..." Because you walked by our desks. Was that the first time we met when you were in Marconi House?
No, I met you lots of times. I stalked you because I'm too old to kind of, you know, ask for your number. But I was kind of, I had a thing for you. And I kind of stalked you around and stared at you down. You know the way there's a glass ceiling in that building? I'd be looking at you down through the glass ceiling and peeking around the stairs. I'd be in and out maybe once a week to do voiceovers. And then I'd be in with Mario doing talk shows and stuff like that, or in with Dermot Dave, and I'd always have a little gook at you. But probably because you're just great, lads.
And like, Norma.
No, you've got it going on. And like, I'd be friends with Jen now, so obviously I have to pretend I listen to Jen every morning and I give her a good listen on 2FM. But like, I swear to God, the kids just adore you. And my God, if you do this off air or on air, but I have to do the Gotta Get Around quiz at some point.
Oh my God, will you please
love
come
to have you on?
Oh Jesus, will you come on, please?
I'd love it because I'm very competitive.
Do come on next week, Nathan. You've
I was
going to
say, will we
now.
Just play a game right now? I gotta get it wrong. I have a sheet of questions.
Do you want to go and get them?
Do you want to do it right now, Norma?
Love to.
Okay, let me get the sheet.
I'll guess. What can I get the bloody music up here? I'll try and get the timer.
Your girlfriend's lovely. Your girlfriend's lovely, Nathan Graham. Nathan Graham, not the one that looks like Nathan Carter. It's Graham. It's Graham.
Graham. Small one. Small one. G4. small. Tool. Think of small tool.
I know, but you can have a big tool. That's the problem.
Have you met my girlfriend?
No, I heard her on one of your podcasts and I thought, God, she's very patient, I'd say.
Was Claire on the podcast?
Your girlfriend?
Yeah. Oh, did we ring her?
She's definitely made cameo appearances.
Oh, yeah. We've rang her a few times. I'm trying to find the number here. Okay. Let's see. Does this work?
And are you going to have babies with her?
That's the plan.
Okay.
If fingers crossed.
And would you not shove one out during COVID? Like,
not yet now. The plan is, well, a few years down the line now, Norma.
You're convinced, Norma, from listening to your podcast, Heal Your Hull. In the first episode, you said that you believe that there isn't a COVID baby boom that's going to happen.
Yeah, people are sick of looking at each other and don't want to ride each other.
Yeah, and I do, but I am seeing a lot of babies arriving though. So
there goes your theory.
Yeah. There seems to be a lot of people who are happy and have money. So I'm surprised by, like, at the start, I was going out licking trolleys nearly trying to end it all. But
yeah, when I messaged you and I said, "Would you be around to do the podcast, Norma?" you said, "All right, I'll jump off the cliff on Thursday, so I'll delay."
Just as it's been released.
Do you mind, before we get into the Gotta Get Around questions, can I ask, where did you meet your husband?
Oh, we met in London. I was in that fancy drama school and he was travelling and I met him through a guy in my class. And yeah, we've been married 20 years. It's tough marriage, to be honest. I probably am not the easiest to put up with. But COVID really, like, no people should spend that much time together apart from you and the other one.
Yeah, we do spend a lot of time together.
Yeah, but it's purely platonic, which is unfortunate.
So what is the... We're both unmarried, but both in very happy relationships. Hopefully we will get married someday. What's the one bit of advice you would give to us, Norma?
Just make the babies now, because, like, I have two teenagers and they think I'm a fossil. So I had twins at 30. Just lash the babies out. You're never going to grow up, particularly you, Nathan. So don't be waiting for that. And don't be waiting for, oh, wait till I have this house or wait till the job improves or whatever. If it's something you want to do, just lash away with it.
No, Norma, it is something that I do want to do in the future, but I just don't feel I'm ready yet. I'm turning 30 this year and just my living situation wouldn't really allow me to have a kid yet. I'm living with two other guys and I just don't feel mature yet.
What are they called, the guys?
Sean and Jacob.
Yeah. So who's living with cock?
No,
sorry, cocky. Cocky.
Graham's living Coxie. With... It's Coxie, not cock.
Cocky.
Oh, he'll love that.
Oh, he loves getting shouted out, Coxie. I'm living with Coxie. We have a big old house full of male men.
So Claire is not living with you?
No. Claire lives up the road from me. Claire lives with her parents up the road.
Okay, so do you not think 30 is time to move on from the friends and they're going to end up with stomach ulcers from takeaways if you...
Well, Claire's in college again, so we're planning next year when she's back working and earning.
Okay. Just don't be waiting to grow up, as I said, because...
You will never grow up.
You won't. Like my fella now, he can't hide his behaviour at the moment, so he's constantly on... roadblocks watching Star Wars. He's just a big kid, and he's in his 40s.
What does he work as?
I don't know.
So when you were shooting films around the country and everything, he would just be left alone with the kids?
Oh, he loved it. He's better at the parenting stuff. I'll make sure there's food in the cupboard and I'll, threaten with the wooden spoon. I've never hit the children, but you have to have it close. But he's better at the discipline and stuff. And he kind of would run the place more like a soldier. I think the less you see of someone when you are married that long, the better. So, and there's no point in two people trying to parent together because you're never going to agree on how to do it.
Where did you go on your honeymoon?
We got married and we didn't tell anyone for a year and a bit. So we told my parents a year after we got married. Yeah, we got married in tracksuits and we just went off to Clifton for two nights.
So you eloped?
Yeah, I suppose that's what it's called, is it?
Is that what it's called?
Why didn't you tell your parents that you got married?
Because my mother would have wanted a big 200, 300 people wedding. I have a load of sisters and they were having all of that. I was on the dole between theatre jobs. We just worked away, did it ourselves. We got two witnesses off the street because you needed two witnesses. And one of them we half knew, and then he was going to bring his friend if we gave him a bottle of brandy. And so the two of them, we couldn't find them on the morning. So we arrived late for the wedding. And Teresa did the wedding and she said, look, I've only 7 minutes left before the next crowd come in. And I said, can you do it in 7 minutes? And she did it in 7 minutes.
That is class.
Wow.
I love that.
That's great.
Yeah. I love that. Will we play a game? We've got to get
around.
Yeah,
let's play a game.
All right, cool.
So these are tomorrow morning's questions.
Oh, well, by the time this comes out, though, it will have played. All right. Do you need the rules? Do you need the rules?
I don't know. No, I don't. But I think this is a dream come true.
Explain the rules just for a listener.
In case. So, Norma. We're going to put 1 minute on the clock. You got to get as many questions wrong as you can. There's no repetition. Your answer must be in relation to the question. And you only got a couple of seconds to answer before the buzzer comes in. I don't know if I can use the buzzer here. Can I? At the same time? Yeah, I can. But the buzzer comes in and we move on to the next one. Are you ready to go?
Yep.
Best of luck, Norma.
Okay, Norma. 1 minute on the clock. Here we go.
What's in a BLT sandwich?
Turkey.
How do you spell fire?
B-I-T.
What street is the spire on?
Patrick Street.
Who is the CEO of Apple?
Mary Murphy.
What animal was Uncle Fatty?
Giraffe.
What rhymes with stinky?
Bollocks.
Name a Meryl Streep film.
Mean Girls.
What is a latte a type of?
Type of food.
What is an Americano a type of?
It's a type of food.
What does IBS stand for?
In bollocks situation.
Do your best impression of Stephen Kenny.
How are you doing, Mike?
What was the score in the Ireland-Serbia match last night?
11:59.
What noise does a spider make?
Meow.
What is a dandelion a type of?
Tree.
Finish the lyrics. I bet you look good on the...
On the front of my t-shirt.
What nationality is Cristiano Ronaldo?
Spanish.
Oh, just got there. Okay. Norma, how did you find that?
I think he is Spanish, isn't he?
No, he's Portuguese.
Oh, phew. I didn't crap myself.
Yeah.
So
there was a bit of repetition, wasn't there?
There was one repetition.
I said food twice.
Yeah.
You did say bollocks twice as well, didn't you?
No, she said in bollocks situations, that was fine.
That's fine.
She said bollocks twice, but it was in different contexts.
Can I ask Norma, what score would you be happy with?
I'd be happy with 10.
Well, you should be delighted because you, my friend, got 15!
All right. All right.
Norma!
What?
I tell you, Norma, recently with that score, you'd win the €100 and gotta get a wrong board game.
Great. Well, I'll be expecting a brown envelope in the...
Do you want to come on next week? Do it for real.
I don't mind.
You just can't say bollocks on live radio, Norma.
It was one other bad word as well, wasn't there?
No. I just said bollocks twice. You, and this is why we love talking to you, wanted to get you on. You don't have a filter, which is fantastic, especially in this day and age. Has it ever got you in trouble?
Oh yeah.
I was on the 6 o'clock show once and they went to an ad break and they came back and asked me to apologise because someone had rang in because I said feck or something. And I said, well, there probably is no point in me apologising because I can't commit to not saying it again. So will we wrap this up or will we continue? And they continued.
Was that live you had this conversation?
Yeah.
Was it Martin King?
It was Lucy Kennedy and it was Martin, I'd say. Yeah. So it was a couple of years back.
I apologise for saying fick. Poor old Martin.
Can I ask you, Norma, what is the worst audition you've ever been on?
God, I mean, there was one in London for a Nike ad. Stand there, pretend you're going up an escalator. You see someone going down, you wink at them. So you're standing on the spot doing all this crap. Oh, God. I've never done kind of dirty, naughty ones because I don't get those roles, thankfully. I've walked out of auditions.
Have you?
Yeah.
Why?
They sent the wrong script. They were acting the maggot. I have a low threshold now for that kind of...
I've never auditioned before, and there could be somebody listening that hasn't. Like, the audition process, you go into a room and there's like, is there three people behind a table and then they ask you to break down in tears and it's just a real sterile atmosphere, is it?
Yeah, it's awful. So it's dead now anyway because everyone tapes. You know, you can't go into rooms anymore. But before that, they'd always start a taping. I tend to get work through someone I've worked with before will remember, oh, she does a good nun or she's good at playing the old hag or whatever. And they'll get me in. That's the best way to get it because you'll know people on set then. Like I had a job recently up north where I didn't really know the crew and stuff and not a good job, not a good vibe and just treated badly, I have to say. So I won't name which one it is. So yeah, the crack has got out of filming at the moment and auditions. I mean, I love talking to people and I love acting. So I was quite good at them. I was probably better in the room than I would be with the tapings because with the tapings, they don't meet you. They don't know you. So you're just sending a 2 minute tape in and they can't sense if you're any bit of crack.
And what's work like at the moment? Are they still shooting a lot or is it just...
There's quite a bit of shooting going on. I had a film there I was meant to be doing 2 weeks ago and it's moved to August for COVID reasons or insurance reasons. It's zero crack. I personally am not on a big job and the one or two I have been on over the last year, it's not what it was. It's all COVID rules. Like now 25% of the budgets go into COVIDizing the situation. But they are ploughing on because it's frontline and I would bite someone's arm off to get on set again. But I'm happy enough to keep writing and podcasting and voiceovering and yeah, it's tricky.
Do you prefer doing the comedy acting or the serious roles?
Well, when I was in drama school, I was taken seriously. And I used to do quite a bit of Shakespeare and stuff like that. But recently, no one takes me seriously anymore and I'm all right with that. Whatever, like... But comedy is I like a bit of both, to be honest. So I would love a meaty psycho role as well. I tend to do a bit psycho if they're straight. Yeah, I'm rarely cast as the straight.
Do you have any jobs coming up? Any big ones?
No, I don't. I'd be straight up, but you know, I could lie. Unless that one comes back in August, but you just... And you'd be sending in auditions all the time, but it's, it's tricky. So, I don't know. I don't want to be too negative, but like, yeah, no, it's quiet.
Would you tell your daughters to get into acting or...
They have stood at the door and stopped me from going to auditions in the past. They think I am so dumb to do a job that someone puts you back on the crap heap after each job. They're like, why do you go into auditions and let people tell you you're not good enough? And they've done a few auditions and they've got a few parts. But even they're going, now they just go. I said, oh, there's an audition coming up. And they're like, if they want me, they know where to find me. I'm not auditioning, not going to the Cattle
March. Remember, I don't know if you've ever seen the show Inside the Actor's Studio with James Lipton. Have you? And if you don't know what it is, Graham, he just like spends an hour speaking to a A-list actor and they just talk through their films. And at the end, the students in the crowd can ask questions. And I remember watching a George Clooney episode and one student put up his hand and he was like, you know, like, how do you deal with the rejection? And he said, well, acting is such a tough industry because the product you are selling is yourself. And it's not like you're selling shoes or something. So you're not saying, oh, you don't like this pair. Well, how about this pair? It's very personal. So when you get rejected from an audition, you can really take it home and it costs you every time you do it. But he says that is why actors are rewarded so much with either adoration or if it's financial success, because it's such a terrifying prospect of telling people that you're going in and you get constant rejection. Like, it's tough.
Yeah, and to be fair, in this country, actors aren't protected. Equity are trying to push something through at the moment that will make them have just really bad, really bad rights. So, in this country, it's always a buyout for a couple of hundred quid. So you're never going to reach the George Clooney level here. You just need to get out of here. And also, like my friends did a show recently that's doing very well on TV. And part of me could go, oh, Jesus, they never even asked me to audition for it and get paranoid. But then you look closely and you go, right, well, the women are either 60 or 25 in it. And you're just not, you're not able to deliver the old 60 just yet. Yeah. So you just have to go, you have to just park it and wait for the good ones. But what I would say to younger actors, never wait for the phone to ring. Just become your own producer. Become your own writer, your own producer, because you get such a bigger kick. Like, I did my own stand-up show last year because I couldn't, before COVID, because I couldn't bear waiting around for parts. And I just started my own show, sold out venues across Ireland, and maybe only 200 seats or 200 something seats, but like it was the Heal Your Whole show. And I just went, just do it. Just take control, be the producer, be the writer, be the performer, be everything. And you'll learn from it. And then when something does come along where you're treated like China and you're dressed in corsets and they're feeding you day and night, and you know, that's then like going to a spa for a day. That's not the real work. That's the pleasure.
Were you ever tempted to go abroad?
Yeah, I mean, I was in London for a while after I trained there, and I did go to LA a couple of times. I have a manager out there. I have a good agent in the UK. Yeah, they're always looking out for you, and there's the odd audition. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, a kid rang me the other day and said, you know, oh, I want to get into acting. She was my friend's daughter. And what's it like to be a successful actor? And I was like, sorry, love, like, but you're, no matter what level you're at, you're back on the crap heap every day. As you said, it's not like a plumber, or you're not like you're selling shoes and you're good at it and you get better and better. You know, there just might not be a part for Nathan Lanky O'Reilly in the show, so he's not going to get seen, you know?
You mentioned your Heal Your Whole comedy show. Was the plan always to bring out a podcast, or did you just move the show to a podcast because of the pandemic?
Well, I was in talks with someone in your office there, actually, Jennifer Dollard. She's gone to Acast. I don't know if you know her.
Yeah.
And she was talking to me about it, and we planned just maybe 6 or 12, and they were going to be quite deep ones about me planning my funeral and other things like that. And then just once the pandemic hit, I've done a weekly one. So I've done 48 or 49 now since last April, and I'm churning them out every week. I'm not as good as yourselves. You're so committed. I think you're fantastic. And now I'm considering turning it into a documentary series. So,
yes.
Yeah. So just me healing the nation's holes. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, so explain, what's the premise of the podcast, Heal Your Hole? So do you take a different subject every episode and every week?
Yeah, one week is itchy hole, smelly hole, moany hole, crack hole. We did dust in the turkey, turkey's hole, and he chats about butchers and where to stick the stuffing. And Mario Rosenstock did funny hole. I did pregnancy hole with Amy Huberman the week before she delivered. So there's good episodes in there. And then the other weeks, it's quite spiritual. Like I did one with a death doula, or did one with a yoga teacher. So, but mainly I try to have a bit of crack. It can get serious for a bit, but I have no qualification to heal anyone's hole. But I basically, you know, there's a few.
Horny hole, glory hole. There's a lot of pressure to continue to have the titles around hole. I'd say after about 30, like, oh, shite. I keep going hole now for every week.
Shite hole. My favourite one, I think, well, pain in the hole was my kids telling me 20 ways that I'm a pain in the hole. That went well. And arsehole of nowhere was a fella from home, but no one could understand him. He was, oh, what a legend. But horny hole, what was that about?
That's with the sex worker.
I did sex hole last week with a sex worker, yeah.
Yeah, did that with a sex worker. But didn't you say the name came from a former rugby player?
Oh yeah, I did Celebrity Ireland's Fittest Family, and we won 10 grand for ARC cancer support. But my coach was Dunica O'Callaghan, and in the first moment of it, I fell off a ship container, smashed my coccyx on the ground, and he shouted, "Get up off your hole, get on with it." And then like a while after that, someone came to me going, "Will you do a show for charity?" I said, "I can't do a show for charity." And I said, "You know what? I'm going to do Heal Your Hole," because, you know, I was inspired by Dunica saying, "Get up off your hole, get on with it." Good theory.
What is Ireland's Fittest Family like? It's just a fucking mad show. What's it like, to be honest? Yeah. Is it as intense as it looks?
Well, the celebrity one was very intense because we did three rounds in one day. So we started with all these sandbags and ship containers. Then we did hanging over the Liffey was the next round. And then the final round of the day was that insane trial of up the Black Ramp and pulling, we're pulling fire engines and, or was it a Land Rover? I can't remember. So I couldn't physically move for about 2 weeks after. I had to be rolled out of the bed the next morning when the muscles completely clamped up, because there's insane shit you do when you're hanging over the Liffey. Yeah. Like I went into a deep space of, you know, I only did 2.5 minutes, but that I pretended I was Chris Martin singing a Coldplay song to Croke Park. And if I didn't get to verse 4, I was a failure.
You must be fairly fit, so.
I was, do you know that kind of gnarly fit where I was kind of yoga and swimming? And that actually worked for me because I was able to get me gnarly fingers around the pole above the Liffey. And then we had my niece who, she was like a cheese string. She's about six foot, and she'd grown really, really quickly. So we could drag her up like a cheese grater, up all the, and then my cousin who was on the team, he was an Iron Man, so he basically carried the three of us around. And we beat Keith Walsh, who's a DJ on 2FM.
Who are you against? Keith Walsh against you.
What other celebrities did it?
There was two lads from X Factor, the Price Brothers, I think, and Connor and something.
Yeah, Connor and Sean Price.
From Waterford. Are they from Waterford?
Yeah.
Mayor Wexford.
And their mom had got a ship container into the back garden. So they were like Spider-Man. They could walk up the containers. So they were shocked when they got kicked out. Keith had his fitness documentaries and endorsed protein bars. And so we beat Brian Redmond. Was an easy beat. We beat him in the first round.
Dance with the Stars, Brian Redmond. Is that him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Norma, I think you could have a guest on your podcast. The man opposite me, Mr. Graham O'Toole, currently is wearing sweatpants because he has the biggest boil.
Oh, no, don't tell her.
No, I have to say, though, you have the biggest boil around your groin. And I wonder, like, could we dedicate an episode?
We don't need to dedicate anything at all to the spots. Norma.
We do... I do need to talk to you, though, a little bit. Are you still getting the verrucas?
Don't get the verrucas anymore, thankfully. But I do have a spot in my pubic area.
It's horrible. It's my pubic area. He keeps showing me as well, Norma.
So I can't wear jeans. Sorry?
Is it pussy?
It was pussy this morning. So when I got into the shower... it's more of a boil. It's underneath the skin and it's like a volcano, and then there was no head on it, and I was thinking, Jesus, they won't get any head on this one. And then this morning when I woke up I was in the shower. I go, okay, it's starting to ooze a little bit now. But it's so weird. I always would get them in around that area. And just, I'll be completely open here, I don't shave down there. I trim.
With the scissors.
I trim with the scissors because I know people have said you'll get ingrown hairs by shaving. So I do trim with the scissors. But I still manage to get massive spots
it's
down
bizarre.
There.
It's
so fucking sore.
It's unfair.
Would apple cider vinegar burn it away?
That's good for the verrucas. I try the apple cider. I wouldn't put no because, Jesus Christ, the apple cider vinegar, I don't know if you ever use it on... You don't get verrucas, do you?
No.
I think if you have the virus, you just get... You're a person who gets verrucas or you don't. And I tried the apple cider vinegar and, Jesus Christ, it would... Because it's like acid and it would burn the skin all around. So I'd have these holes in my... Hole in your foot. And, and it would just be this little... cave, and then I'd have to put more apple cider vinegar on top of it to try and kill the root of it. But because the skin was eaten away, it was basically putting it on raw skin. So that's fine on the heel of my foot, not around my pubic area, please.
No. And what about CBD oil? You were having a bit of that sparky stuff.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, I tell you, Norma. He was as high as a kite, Norma.
I was very chilled after it.
You. I heard that episode where you were off your tits.
Oh, he was crazy.
Honestly, different person.
He was gurning. Different. He was chewing his lips at me. And it made me uncomfortable, Norma.
I was worried for you, Nathan, because he was going on about, oh, man, like, can you see, when you see things in your brain, how do you see that, man?
Yeah.
Let me ask you, how do you see things in your brain?
Oh.
Think back to when you were on the set of Moon Boy. You're thinking about it. You can see it. Where is that image coming from?
You did freak me out with that one. I don't know.
Yeah. Has anybody come up to the car and knocked on the window and said, why is there a woman talking for an hour in the boot of a car outside Little in Glenageary?
I was recording one episode outside Woody's and a fella came up and peed on the wheel and my back window was black. He couldn't see in, so I could see his Mickey while he was peeing against the wheel, but I kept down.
Jesus. Well, Norma, look, thank you so much for doing this. Can you plug your podcast? Because we want anyone that listens to this, you gotta support, our
Norma.
Friend Norma. She is honestly the best. And also,
and by the way, lads, some of the episodes are shite, like, so but there'll be something in there for you. Control through.
Yeah.
You don't need to tell us that. Every episode of ours is shite.
It's shite. We never make the charts, Norma.
No.
At least you have.
Oh, I hear you.
You have bloody A-list celebs on your podcast.
Oh, there's an Alsatian behind you, Norma. Someone's walking an Alsatian. Scares the absolute fucking shit out of me.
So how can people find your podcast, Norma?
Just basically Heal Your Hole with Norma Sheehan, and so far there's nearly 50 episodes. And oh, by the way, you said that you can only show a certain amount. Is it 50 or 100 you're allowed to have up there? Because I might call it a day if they're...
Well, all yours are up there because I'm on Spotify here now. I just think we just messed up. It's the back end. And you're doing it through Acast?
Yeah.
How are they? They good? Look after
they're
you.
Mighty.
Look after
mighty.
You.
Mighty. Oh yeah, millions. Yeah.
And Norma, what is your Instagram handle for people to follow you and creep on you?
Norma Sheehan Actor. So Sheehan is a weird spelling, S-H-E-A-H-A-N. And yeah, I do put up hideous stuff on that if you want to have a giggle every now and again.
I don't follow you.
Oh, you got to follow Norma. She's the best.
There you go.
Norma, congratulations on your house move. I hope it's not too stressful, but it's a lovely area you're going into.
No, I don't get stressed about things. I might try the CBD oil, but I don't know if I need it.
Oh, no, it tastes awful.
Women are used to tasting awful things.
Don't get the rapeseed oil flavour anyway. Jesus Christ.
Norma, I've thoroughly enjoyed
this.
Lads. Thank you so much for doing it. We love you.
Thank
we
you
think
very
you're
much,
the
Norma.
Best.
We can't wait to see you
and
back.
And I'm going to get Porrick from Moonboy on. Just send me a message about him. I'll get you on.
Will do. Thank you, Norma. Bye.
Bye-bye.
See you, Norma.
Okay.
Norma, thanks so much.
Oh, bye, Norma.
Thanks.
End meeting. No, she's gone. Wonderful.
Oh, Norma. What a lady.
Great spot.
Yeah.
Great spot. Yeah. Nathan Riley, he's the producer in the background.
Look, we're just trying to...
Fuck me, I'm sweating.
It gets so hot in here.
It gets so
maybe
hot.
Maybe halfway
in here.
Through, I might start
putting on the old air.
Turn on the fan.
Put on now.
Yeah.
Just in case Barry Dunn comes in afterwards, because he was looking to get in. Thank you very much, Graham and Nathan at gmail.com. If you've got anything you want to say to us, and another week down. Bye bye.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Suffocation. No.